Good morning. Welcome to our meeting. It's 9 a.m. on July 21st, 2026, and time to convene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Sid Logan, President of the Commission. Joining me today are Commissioner Tony Olson, our Secretary, John Harlow, our CEO General Manager, Colin Willenroth, our Chief Operating and Legal Officer, Allison Morrison, Clerk of the Board, Jenny Rich, and Morgan Stokes, our Deputy Clerk of the Board. Commissioner Julieta Alcamar Crosby, our Vice President, is absent today. Please mute or turn off your cell phones or other electronic devices at this time. So at this time, I'm going to say the flag salute, and you're welcome to join me to the flag. Copies of the agenda are located on the deputy clerk table near the entrance. Are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the public agenda?
Yes, Commissioner Logan, we do have one. Remove agenda item number 7A, consideration of a resolution approving a lease addendum to extend the term of a lease agreement with Linda Bell of Roger Bell Real Estate Holdings, LLC. To lease a vacant property located at 1450 80th Street Southwest, Everett, Washington, and authorizing the district manager, real estate services, to execute said lease addendum on behalf of Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County. This item will return on a future date to be determined.
Thank you. Comments from the public is item 2 on the agenda, and that's when we'll hear comments that will be limited to 3 minutes. The person shall be recognized to speak from the sign-up cards located at the clerk's table near the entrance. If joining by Zoom, click raise hand, or dial star 9 by phone. I'll call on you to speak at the appropriate time. When you're called upon and on the phone, you will need to dial star 6 to unmute. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium, use the microphone, state your name, and indicate where you're from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners and not the audience. Give documents or the materials that are to the record, hand them to the deputy clerk, who will distribute them to the board. We appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. So first is item 1, recognition declarations. 1A, our master municipal clerk designation for Morgan Stolzner. And Allison will introduce Morgan, although Morgan needs no introduction to us.
Thank you. Good morning. Allison Morrison, clerk of the board. Today, I'm very pleased to recognize Morgan Stolzner, our deputy clerk of the board, for earning her master municipal clerk designation from the International Institute of Municipal Clerks. This designation represents an advanced level of professional achievement and reflects a strong commitment to continuing education, ethical service, and excellence in the complex work performed by municipal clerks. Earning this designation requires significant dedication, including advanced education, continued professional development, experience, and service to a legislative governing body. Morgan began this process in 2025 and received her certificate of completion on May 28, 2026. She now joins a select group of clerks in Washington State who have achieved this designation, which makes the accomplishment especially meaningful. Morgan, thank you for your hard work, dedication, and continued service to the board in the district. Could you please join me in congratulating Morgan?
Come on. We are so spoiled. God darn it.
Don't complain. Don't. Well, things could change.
Oh, we're not going to sing. It's been a long journey. But it takes a long time to get those certifications.
Lots of classes, lots of hours, and I was determined to get it within a year, and I made my goal. So
yeah, it's made within a year. Yeah, and it, you didn't mention, but there's only 59 clerks with this certification in the state of Washington.
Wow.
So when you think, and across the country, and it's actually worldwide, there are, I can't remember, I think France was one of them. But so we're really pleased because all three of our clerks have certifications, and that's pretty unusual. We're very proud of them.
Thank you for all you do for us. Congratulations.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You've done the good work of taking care of me.
Yeah, you can.
Get back to work. Okay.
All right. Next, item two, comments from the public. Are there any comments from the public on topics not on today's agenda for public hearing? An opportunity to comment on public hearing items are scheduled for later in the agenda. Please state your first and last name for the record and wants to speak. I don't see any hands up in the room. I don't see any hands up online. Okay. We will move to agenda items. Second agenda, 3A, approval of the minutes of the regular meeting of July 7th, 2026. 3B, bid award professional service contracts and amendments. And 3C, consideration of certification class ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Commissioner, do you have any questions or comments?
I don't believe I'm too running to check with him. No, I don't.
None either. I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Next, item four, our CEO General Manager briefing and study session. This item is for the board and our general manager discuss issues among ourselves. And so I'll introduce our general manager, John Harlow, to facilitate our morning discussion. Good morning, John.
Good morning, commissioners. I have a few items on the agenda for this morning, so we'll get right at it. First up is an update on our biodigester, Greg and Scott Barr.
Yeah.
What have we got?
John.
Good morning, I'm Scott Spar, Generation Engineering Manager. So, as some of you may have heard, our present partner in biogas generation, Qualco, received a grant from State Farmers, and I want to provide a little bit more detail about that grant. So just a quick background, the Qualco Corporation is a partnership between the Tulalip Tribes, the Workhome Farms, and the Northwest Chinook Recovery. And they received a $4.6 million grant from State Department of Commerce. The funding came from the state's Anaerobic Digester Development Program, which was established in 2025, and in total awarded about $12.8 million statewide per project that repair, upgrade, or develop dairy digesters. The grant program prioritized shovel-ready projects that can be completed within the next 24 months. As you may be aware, the existing digester at Qualco has been in operation since 2008, processed a lot of food waste, expired beverages, as well as dairy manure. And we currently utilize some of that methane to operate our 650 kilowatt generator at near full output. And the excess methane is flared. With the grant funding, Qualco plans to construct a second digester and make improvements to its solid handling systems. You know, they end up using the solids as a fertilizer for their farm out there. They intend to begin construction in the spring of 27. Coming spring, the parallel digester installed at the existing site. And I will add that, you know, as they were completing their grant application, they reached out to PD regarding the potential for additional electrical generation. But because the existing transformer bank has limited capacity, it's located in a floodplain because of some of the harmonic limitations circuit. Just to get the grid updates completed would add about $1 million in cost, in addition to any additional generator costs. So at present, Qualco is evaluating ways to utilize the additional biogas on site, potentially, you know, for thermal boilers at the farm, and might have increased flaring as needed. And just a reminder to the board, the PUD continues to operate our generation facilities through a 7-year lease agreement, which remains in effect through June 20. That's all I have.
Why didn't we realize we were taking the power? I can understand why.
Right. Yeah.
That's just had they anticipated that they would be able to get another grid?
They didn't anticipate it. Quite frankly, their economics, they get paid to receive waste, and about 2/3 of the revenue comes from that end of the business.
Yeah.
So it's still a net winner for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know we put in a new upgraded generator. Is that an running fine?
At present, it's running fine. We had about a year and a half of flawless operation, and then we discovered that remanufactured head, you know, problematic, and we've had to deal with some of that for time. I think it's approaching about 35,000 hours of operation, which, you know, if you turn into miles, it's 1 million miles. So it's been a generator that's been heavily used about halfway through its life. Some issues with it, but.
Are these unique to that side? Or...
Well, I will say that, you know, we acquired the Siemens generator that is highly recommended, put it out through every process, and, you know, had performed well for the predecessor, but for whatever reason, the one that we got had issues with these things, picking valves in the head. And that's something we've been addressing.
It's not very clean gas, so I can imagine.
Yeah.
A little brittle metal kind of challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it, you know, we did everything where we, you know, learned as much as we could about the industry, and we tried to get the right thing.
Yeah.
I think that we had some lessons learned, but that's what happens when you're going to a new fork.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate that. Next, I just wanted to take a couple minutes and update the board on the process around our large load or data center principals and the example. Give you an updated timeline. We expect to bring the principals and the how the principals will be applied to a large load greater than 10 megawatt example in the first meeting on September. In September, which would be September 1st, I believe. And then the follow-up meeting, September 15th, we'll look for your approval of the principals and then also get into a policy update on the process by which the team goes through and evaluates through the system impact study and all the necessary criteria to serve large loads, actually any loads, but it'll be updated to apply to, again, these what we're considering very large loads, which is 10 megawatts or above, and the different criteria that entails as well. And I also want to articulate clearly that this is not around a decision point, not in changing the way we approach these potential large load or data center inquiries. We are still looking out for our customers' best interests. We're going to protect them from any cost impacts, any reliability impacts. The principles are basically to codify that agreement and that commitment to our customers in both of those cases that we're going to look out for, make sure there's no rate impact, cost impact to our customers, and no reliability impact to our current customers as well. But we want the principles to basically be able to reflect that and for you all to feel comfortable in how they articulate that commitment.
I think I understood you. This is not for data centers. This is a generic larger load.
It is.
Right? Other things could come in that needed that kind of load and that would fall under this.
Yes. It is not exclusively for data centers.
Okay.
So the data centers are the ones that are driving
right.
a lot of this conversation because
right.
of the significant loads that they are requiring, for, especially or specifically the hyperscaler.
Right.
Yeah, as the other thing I wanted to make sure we're clear on, because there's been a number of inquiries or questions about this, there are no current large load slash data center inquiries or projects being worked on by our team at the moment. I know there's a lot of concern about that or speculation on that. There are no large load slash data centers currently in process or inquiries from any developers that we are working on.
So we would not begin that assessment until where being cited, the local municipality or whatever had approved it. Is that correct?
Well, we wouldn't begin an assessment until we had an inquiry from a potential customer or developer that says, hey, we are thinking about siting. They would have to run through all the traps on zoning and whether they can site it in whatever municipality. We would come in, if they would come to us and say, hey, we want to site one here, we would go through the necessary system impact study and assessment.
But they would not come to us with approval to actually build at that site from the municipality. You said there's a lot of steps involved.
Yeah, the steps.
But I think within a certain city limits, would we begin our assessment? Would they come to us saying we have got approval from the city, county to build there? And now we want an assessment from the electric utility, which is providing a service.
It happens at the same time, doesn't it? So I think if a customer approaches the municipality and say, and the municipality says, you know, looks like this is something that could be done, don't they then contact us and see, don't the processes run concurrently?
Yeah, they would run concurrently, but our process is not dependent on somebody bringing a permit to say, hey, we've been
right.
okay to build here. It would just be a customer, as in the past, has come and said, hey,
yeah.
we would like to build this a facility that would require this kind of load. And here's where we expect them to tell us where they are thinking about or what area they're thinking about. That allows us to do the necessary system impact study.
So do they pay for us to do the impact study?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's what I was worried about.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, no, all those costs. And we'll get into more of that in more the second meeting in September. Not to go too deep, but yeah, those costs. Any of those costs that are required are funded by the developer or the customer.
All right, thank you.
So the county has put a whole temporary hold.
Mm-hmm.
So the municipalities have any of those entities reached out to conversations with us about?
Not that I'm aware of.
If you have any questions.
Yeah, if you can answer, has any of the municipalities or the county reached out to us?
Not to my knowledge. No. Not to my knowledge, have they reached out? We do know that the county has put a moratorium in the city of Arm. For the new zoning, and we're continuing ahead with our studies and looking at our processes and how we can mature them. Should that moratorium be lifted and more clarity be provided, or if the city of Arlington changes their zoning rules after they have a look?
Okay. And again, that is specific to the data centers.
Yeah.
the principles and the process applies to any load that would be greater than 10 megawatts. Excellent. All right, next up is an update on the artwork and the outreach on our Everett Solar Project. And Kelsey Lewis, good morning.
I'm going to read the name.
I butchered it enough. I know Kelsey can do it very well. Good morning, Kelsey.
Good morning, John. Good morning, commissioners. I'm Kelsey Lewis. I'm a program manager in Customer and Energy Services, and I'm joined by Haley Tanks, a regulatory scientist in natural resources. And today we'll be presenting an update on the El Sol a los Cantones Manos, our work in outreach. Susie wanted me to remind you that the last time she presented was in March of 25, and she gave an update on the construction and financials for the project. And at the time we were applying for an $800,000 federal investment tax credit, and I'm happy to report that at the end of last year, we actually got a check for $1.1 million for that tax credit. So that, and with other state and federal funding, paid for more than 80% of the total project costs. So very nice surprise at the end of 2025. Today, our purpose is just to inform the board of our engagement and artwork, and no action is requested. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the update. We'll have time for questions at the end, but also if you have any throughout, feel free to interrupt me. Here's our agenda for the day. So we'll start by giving you just an overview of the project, talk about some of our partners, and then I'll pass it over to Haley to talk about our collaboration with the city. And then we'll dive deep into the artwork and engagement and talk about our celebration.
Did you say to wait till the end?
Oh, no, feel free to interrupt me, but we'll have
time. You skipped over a slide.
Did I?
That one, is that somebody's dummy?
No.
Maybe me, I don't.
That's inspiration to relax and enjoy.
Oh, 20 minutes trying to name it.
Next time
sorry, I do you want
to. Yeah, okay. All right, so I want to take you back to 2021, where there was just an open field at Walter E. Hall Park, and this project was really just an application on the Department of Commerce's desk. We were awarded a grant under the Clean Energy Fund, and we started building and planning, and in 2024, the solar array was installed. And I want to remind you that this project is a unique way of doing community solar in that all of the electricity generated is purchased by the PUD, and those credits are donated to our community energy fund, which helps customers with emergency bill assistance, and that's administered by St. Vincent de Paul. And then earlier this year, we saw some improvements around the project with some trees being planted, a path being installed by the city, and then you can see some of the artwork going up on the fence. Haley and I are going to get more into that later, but really what I want to highlight about this project is that it's been more than just the electrons being generated, but it's been really about making space for community and taking care of our neighbors, and you can see a long list of partners there on the side. So we're going to talk more about that at the celebration as well and really highlight folks, but it's been a wonderful project to be a part of. And with that, I'll pass it over to Haley.
Thank you, Kelsey. Good morning, commissioners. My name is Haley Tangs, Regulatory Scientist 2, and I'm just going to briefly chat about some of the collaboration that happened to get those trees planted on site there at El Sol. So in order to put in the solar panels, we did have to remove some mature trees. And so in doing so, we coordinated with the city of Everett to replace them at their standard of 2-to-1. So in total, we accounted for 10 trees out of the 15 new trees that got incorporated into a new landscape plan for that city's new pedestrian trail that now connects a local neighborhood to Walter E. Hall Park. So over the last couple of years, we had arborists in our veg management and facilities teams that collaborated with arborists at the city to come up with species that are appropriate for the site and to make sure that they are sited in a way where they're not going to negatively impact those solar panels. So no worries there, they're not going to be shading those out. And hopefully they'll actually provide us some added benefit of protection from a nearby golf course. hours. So that was kind of the intention there. And in spirit of the ELSOL collaboration, we are also able to partner with the Snohomish Conservation District through their Urban Community Forestry Program. They were able to supply all of the trees for us in the city, and they also helped facilitate a community volunteer event. So the city hosted an event on a weekend in May where they opened it up to anybody from the community to come out and help plant those trees. So that was a huge success, really good turnout, especially from that local neighborhood where that path was built. They had long been awaiting that trail, and they were really thrilled to get to be a part of that program and that stewardship piece. So really great to see, and we are really excited to watch those trees grow up. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Kelsey to talk about the artwork.
Thank you, Haley. And I just want to shout out that path has been amazing to see so many folks walk through the area just on the times we've been on site. All right, so let's dive into the artwork. The grant we got from Commerce had asked us to co-create with the community, and at first we weren't really sure what that was going to look like. So we started by asking the community to name the project, and we tabled at several community events like National Night Out and Connect Casino Road Carnival, and asked for name suggestions, and then hosted an open house, and ultimately attendees voted on El Sol a la Casa de Tus Manos, and we actually have the original name suggestion from the Connect Casino Road Carnival here. That was all the way back in 2022. Once we had the project name, then we met with the Westmont Holly Neighborhood Association, and members said they really wanted to see artwork, and particularly youth artwork from the local community incorporated into the project. So we reached out to our contacts at Mukilteo School District, and they connected us with these three local artists who are also here in the room today, Jessica, Luisa, and Ruben. And they won't be presenting with me today, but if you have any questions for them, at the end, you're welcome to ask. But they've been incredible partners as we kind of asked them in to work on this project without really knowing what the end result would be. So we all learned together. So we took the inspiration for the name, El Sol a la Casa de Tus Manos, the sun at your fingertips, and got these wooden suns in hands, and then asked local youth to paint them to be put on the project fence. So the artists and I and some volunteers spent 2 weeks at Horizon Elementary back in 2024. We worked with every single classroom, and we also tabled at events like Energy Block Party, and worked with Denny Youth to get almost 1,000 pieces painted that are going up on the project fence. And I also want to give a huge shout out to facilities because they helped us finish all of these, prep them to be installed. And one thing that I really love about this project is that the artists are incorporating recycled materials from the PUD into the project design. So artists, worked with the warehouse to source items that would be good for the project. So, you know, you can see Ruben there going through the bins, and they identified some pieces that would be good to have a lot of, and the warehouse folks looked out for them and kind of collected them. And you'll see a few photos throughout where you can see, for example, on the right-hand side, these hinges that have actually been used to make like the body of some butterflies and bugs, and then bended wire. And it's been really cool just to see how the artist's creativity has transformed things, like looking at the warehouse items in a new perspective, giving a new life. I think really mirrors the creativity and how we implemented community solar for this project, and also how we'll need to be creative to continue helping our communities thrive.
I have a question.
Yeah.
These materials, they've been previously surplus.
What do you mean by surplus?
Well, we have some.
Okay.
Thank you. So, Angela Dodson again. Yes.
And part of that quarterly.
Yeah, anything that would be, you know, given to you guys would definitely have gone through our normal processes where you would give.
I know, it's amazing.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Angela. So This is a zoomed out view of the entire project fence of the overall design. It features the name of the project at the center, and those are in those bright yellow letters that you may have seen in the beginning. And on either side of the name, a panel for each artist is featured. And then at the end, there is actually a collaborative panel amongst all the artists. And sprinkled throughout the entire project fence are these suns and hands painted by local youth. And as I go, I'm going to zoom into each panel, but I just want to highlight that this is a mock-up. So it's black and white. It's not doesn't have all the details, just to give a rough idea. But we're putting the finishing touches on the panels, and we'll be installing later this summer. And so each panel features some visual art and some written art as well. You'll see that the written art is going to be in English on the slide, but we actually will have it in both English and Spanish on the final design. So let's zoom into our first panel on the left. It features a robot in a cityscape, and the text reads, "In an ever-changing and uncertain world, the last solar robot leaves the cityscape behind with one thought on his mind." And then we move to the next panel, just to the right, which features three stained glass windows and flowers. And the text reads, "Surrender what you think you know, plant the seeds you wish to grow." And then just to the right of the project name, the panel is a naturescape with a hummingbird and flowers. And the text reads, "Even in your darkest hours, ours in a sea of faces kissed by the glow of a mid-morning sun, something beautiful bloomed." And here we also have some highlights of the recycled materials, for example, being turned into a butterfly. And we use one of those golf balls that we found around the project fence. just to give you an idea.
A few of those.
Yeah. And then the last panel, which is a collaboration featuring the solar robot and a callback to this sticker that we use in classrooms and pass out in the naturescape. It reads, "We began to understand that our collective well-being was contingent upon collaborative dreaming," which really just brings this whole project, into mind. So artists are hard at work getting those ready. We're working with facilities to install in a few weeks. And again, facilities has been amazing. They put up the letters in a matter of hours. They're so talented and have all the knowledge to figure out how to do things efficiently and correctly. Then at the end of August, we're planning to install all those suns and hands. So that's going to be a mad dash to get 1,000 up on the fence. But I think the colors and the thoughtfulness it's going to be amazing. So we're going to celebrate Saturday, September 19th from 10 to 1 p.m. at the site, just in front of the letters on the path. We'll have community members and representatives from our partners, and we'll start with some comments and then celebration. So here's a highlight from our groundbreaking, but we just want to say thank you to everyone who's been involved in this project, and we'll take some questions.
I think this is an opportunity for some of the unique press and maybe even something at NWPA, ABPA magazines. This is beautiful. It really is.
It's going to be exciting to see this. I remember when we did the groundbreaking, how enthusiastic, how excited the artists were about the project. It's really fascinating. So, Commissioner, I don't know that I haven't talked to you, but I know I asked a Commissioner Alvaro Crosby if, as their vice president, she would.
I think
she
yeah.
would. I just think
the theme, yes.
And I just think that if you're a young student, young person from that neighborhood, how great to see someone that might be more relatable to you.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I just think
it's not because I don't have a talent to pronounce the name, because I fumbled. I just think it would be.
She'll bring her own unique.
I think we don't.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I thank you. Ben.
Yeah. Very excited.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Thank you.
And I can't see the artists.
Oh, they're right here in the second round.
Oh, you're here. Okay. Wow.
You're so proud.
Sorry, I missed you back there. Very exciting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to whatever Saturday day.
Thank you so much, Kelsey and Haley, for being an awesome, awesome partner. All right, next up is an update on our environmental programs and Colleen Murphy. Morning, Colleen.
Good morning. Thank you, John. Thank you, commissioners. My name is Colleen Murphy. I'm the manager of environmental affairs at the district. I do want to thank you for this opportunity to talk with you today and demonstrate some of the ways that we at the district are living our mission to deliver affordable power and water to our customer owners in a safe, environmentally sustainable environment. I'm excited to provide an overview of our district's environmental program and how the work supports our broader responsibility to serve the community. I don't have any dogs and hammocks on this one, sorry. The purpose of today's presentation is informational only. No action is requested. My goal is to give you an overview of how our environmental programs support our strategic objective 4.1, minimizing our environmental impact. To do so, I'll cover where this work comes from, how it's organized, what my team, the Environmental Affairs Department, does, and where we're headed through our Environmental Sustainability Act. Environmental stewardship of the district is not a standalone activity. It's part of how we plan, operate, maintain, and improve our utility services. The district's environmental work helps protect natural resources, manage regulatory obligations, reduce risk, and support long-term community trust. This is very much a shared task, and there are many departments who contribute to that end. In fact, through our environmental commitment, we emphasize that environmental protection is part of everyone's job. Part of my team's role is to help Team PUD understand what this looks like. The good news is that the district has a long history of environmental protection. From our very early days, when we were just very much like a young utility just starting out, we started to incorporate environmental legacy into our operations beginning in the 70s and 80s. And then we had some high impact actions in the 90s where the commission approved a resolution to reduce hazardous substance use and waste, as well as joining the climate challenge program sponsored by the Department of Energy. We did not stop there. Since then, we've added environmental to the district's mission. We were one of the first utilities in the region to adopt a climate change policy. We adopted an environmental commitment, and most recently, we advanced the Environmental Sustainability Action Plan, or ESAP. We have over 50 years of history with environmental programs, and we're just getting started. A key point to the environmental successes to date, as well as into the future, is that environmental stewardship is a shared responsibility. With all the different groups involved, there are sure to be different perspectives, priorities, and responsibilities. To ensure we have coordination and transparency, as well as alignment in our actions, the PUD has established an environmental stewardship committee. This committee includes representatives from more than 30 departments throughout the district. This cross-functional structure matters because environmental impacts and opportunities show up across the organization. Operations, planning, procurement, facilities, fleet, even community engagement. This committee helps coordinate action, provide expertise, and supports the implementation of our ESAP. The committee formally adopted the ESAP last month, thus shifting our efforts from building a program to implementing it. I will share more about that in a couple minutes, but first I want to talk to you a little bit about what the Environmental Affairs team does, because they're very foundational to our environmental program. So Environmental Affairs provide both technical expertise and business help. Our role is not only to ensure compliance, but also to help the district make informed decisions, reduce risk, prepare for future requirements, and integrate environmental considerations into everyday operations. The mission of the Environmental Affairs team is to advocate for and facilitate environmental excellence in utility operations. Our vision is to inspire environmental stewardship with a team beauty in the greater community. That means we are both a compliance resource and a strategic partner. We support programs ranging from spill response and waste management to stormwater protection and environmental review and more. Environmental Affairs integrates environmental stewardship into district operations, planning, and decision-making. Our core functions include regulatory compliance, environmental integration, sustainability program management, training and continuous improvement, risk management, and future readiness. Together, these functions help the district meet today's obligations while preparing for evolving requirements and expectations. Beyond compliance, our work reduces risks, protects public trust, supports reliable operations, and strengthens the district long-term resilience. By proactively managing environmental responsibilities, we help prevent disruption, delays, unplanned costs, enforcement risk, and reputational harm. So what does this mean for the commission? This work matters to the commission because environmental performance is inseparable from governance, risk oversight, and public accountability. Regulatory compliance failures, environmental incidents, or sustainability gaps can have significant financial, operational, and reputational consequences. This team helps ensure that these risks are anticipated, managed, and communicated clearly, allowing the commission to exercise the informed oversight essential to maintaining public confidence and ensuring the district remains a trusted steward of community resources. And now I want to share with you what this looks like in our lab. One of the highest profile activities that we perform is spill response. When incidents occur, Environmental Affairs helps ensure the district responds quickly, appropriately, and in compliance. This work protects waterways, public safety, and the district's reputation. It also supports continuous improvement by helping identify prevention opportunities, and it's a really good way for us to interact with the public. Some of these are a little more interesting than others. I think that was a couple of the more exciting ones.
It was in a house.
It was actually, it was a shed that had been moved. Yeah. It came off the truck that was moving it and took down three of our poles in the process, two of which had transformers and a couple of spills resulted from it, not to mention shutting down the road. Yeah, that one made the news.
Yeah, I was thinking Wizard of Oz. We have a broken pole. Oh, I thought it, maybe it fell on a witch or something.
Oh, you could have put some shoes underneath.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
That'd be a good one.
What did you have for
it? Your name was Common.
The one in the upper left-hand corner, that's a storm still. The bottom right one, a car hit a pad mount and pushed it into a house.
That's what that is.
Yeah. We don't get that every day, thankfully, but it does tell good stories. Another high-impact program is avian protection. Birds and wildlife can interact with utility infrastructure, resulting in not only their demise, but causing power outages. Our work helps reduce risks through planning, coordination, and operational practices. This is an area where environmental stewardship, reliability, and responsible infrastructure management all come together. We are just about starting a pilot program to relocate osprey nests. You'll hear more about that in the program's involved. It's still in the concept stage, but it's exciting that we get to be more proactive. That particular which I think is on the road up to Darrington. Environmental planning is also central to how we support district projects.
I'm sorry, can you back up? So is that a nest that we helped put there, or is that a nest that the birds just built there?
So that one, I don't think we put that there. I think they did it themselves. We have some insulators.
Okay.
No, they built it.
No, we. I believe we had.
Oh,
I'm Austin. I'm with Environmental Affairs. So I think originally what happened, if I remember right, is they had to drop our infrastructure down a little bit, and the top was the original part of the hole. But I can't remember. That was before my time.
Right along the white trailer.
Then that might be the one.
Yeah.
So we want these.
We want to give them an opportunity to have a nest away from our infrastructure. So they like the highest thing in the area. So if we build something higher away from there, they get to live and we don't lose power.
Okay.
Environmental planning is also central to how we support district projects. By identifying environmental considerations early, we help projects move forward more efficiently and responsibly. Early integration can reduce delays, avoid surprises, and ensure that environmental obligations are addressed before they become project risks. It also ensures the work that the district does today makes sense for our future generations, from how we construct infrastructure to how we minimize the impact of public. And the final area I want to highlight today is waste management. Our focus is moving beyond disposal alone toward a circular economy mindset. Rethink, reuse, and recover. This means looking for opportunities to prevent waste in the first place, reusing materials when possible. I didn't know about the what they were doing out at the community solar, but that's awesome. Managing materials properly and improving district-wide practices over time. So these are just some of the programs that our team does. And when you look at how many other teams at the district have environmental programs and components to that, it gets very complicated very quickly. So this is where our EXAP comes in. The Environmental Sustainability Action Plan, or EXAP, brings together this work in a more coordinated framework. It is intended to help us move from individual activities to a structured, organization-wide approach that supports environmental performance, accountability, and continuous improvement. Our current strategic plan includes environmental sustainability as one of our strategic priorities. To demonstrate how the district manages and continually improves our environmental stewardship, we've created a roadmap for developing and implementing our EXAP. The roadmap has five phases designed to help us achieve our overarching goal of building a better tomorrow by achieving net zero greenhouse gas emissions from district operations and delivering an overall positive environmental and social impact. First, we establish the framework. Now we're working on departmental alignment and developing action plans, then we'll work on the implementation. And finally, this is designed to be a living document, so we want to continually improve as we learn more about it. You want me to go back? Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were about to say something.
No, no,
okay. The purpose of the ESAP is to provide a practical path for advancing sustainability at the PUD by moving sustainability from isolated initiatives to an integrated organization-wide approach that informs planning, operations, and decision-making. The vision is not just to create a plan, but to operationalize sustainability into how we work. The key focus areas and leadership engagement components are designed to make the plan actionable, measurable, and relevant to departments throughout the PUD. By implementing the ESAP, we are transitioning from traditional environmental compliance-based approaches towards a more integrated, risk-informed sustainability model that aligns with the strategic plan. Governance and accountability are essential to the ESAP. The framework defines roles, supports cross-functional collaboration, and establishes performance metrics. This helps us ensure that sustainability work is not isolated or informal, but connected to district priorities, department responsibilities, and ongoing improvement. As we transition from development to implementation, we are starting from a very strong foundation. Like I said earlier, we started our environmental programs with PD still in its infancy. Current progress includes baseline sustainability metrics, greenhouse gas inventory work, pilot programs such as the AVM platform, relocation for Osprey, data management and reporting improvements, and employee engagement. These early accomplishments help us understand where we are today and where to focus next. Stepping back, this work is about protecting today and preparing for tomorrow. The district supports not just regulatory compliance and risk management, but also sustainability, resilience, community trust, and accountability. Environmental stewardship is not separate from the district's environmental mission. It's an essential part of how we responsibly serve our communities. The final step is moving from plans to action. That means continuing to strengthen the governance framework, supporting department alignment, and advancing action plans that are practical and achievable. We will continue to focus on implementation that's coordinated, measurable, and connected to district priorities. As this work progresses, we will keep refining metrics, reporting progress, engaging employees, and identifying opportunities to improve. The ESAP is intended to be a living framework, one that adapts as the district gains experience and as environmental expectations continue to evolve. Commissioners, thank you very much for this opportunity today. We really appreciate getting a chance to talk about some of the programs that we have. With that, I will have any questions.
I do need clarification. Is our water utility, is that a separate from, and also our hydro generation? Is that a separate environmental
They do have some separate environmental compliance and programs. But this is a organizational wide.
Global. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
That was clear to me. Thank you.
Yeah. So there's back to the for the sustainability for the environmental stewardship committee. There's like 30 departments that are on the committee.
Oh,
the three slots are today. We have facilities,
we have transportation,
we have generation, natural resources.
So, yeah,
we're trying to get everybody's in.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely.
So I've got a question about what are we doing with office waste streams? Recycling paper, bottles, cans, even compost, tons of boxes, those kind of things.
We tried a compost pilot and then COVID hit and been really difficult to get that back in place. We do have the traditional office ones, and we have so much more than that. So we've got our substation groups works on refurbishing transformers whenever possible, so we're not even generating the waste. When they can't, we recycle those. We recycle the oil that comes out of them. Our warehouse spends a tremendous amount of time sorting different the metals so that we can get the best bang for our buck and recycling those. That's why there's so many different groups in there, is because there's a lot of groups that are doing a lot of different work.
You know, you could reuse a transformer that had PCB in it.
Not the ones with PCBs. So, fortunately, we.
I think that's what I think.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, the non PCB transformers.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
Thank you.
And I will say, I've had the opportunity to sit in, this is a month or two ago, of the Environmental Stewardship Committee meeting, and it is really impressive to see the commitment and the passion that each of them share to finish it forward. Yeah. Yeah. It's really awesome. And that's a good honor.
It's a big lift, and it takes all the team.
Yeah. That's great.
It's becoming a cultural.
Oh, thank you.
Part of our culture.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Maureen. Great job. Okay, that's it for the presentations this morning.
Okay. Next, we have item five, our field general manager report. Do you have a report for us, John?
Sure, a couple items to share. First, from our corporate communications, tomorrow concludes the Everett Public School Career Link Summer Mentorship Program. Our own Lauren Way, Melissa Machida, and Amy Eber and Lisa Honeywell served as mentors for four high school students from Jackson High School. This was a unique opportunity for PUD employees to work cross-departmentally with students looking to solve real-world problems in our industry. The Lake Stevens Aqua Fest was a phenomenal success. Thank you to the Water Utility for their work to staff the table and share information with our customers. We also participated in the Sultan Shindig Parade, where community members received information on our public safety power shutoff. An update from HR, the HRIS and Talent Acquisition successfully completed a two-year recruiting continuous improvement project supporting Strategic Initiative 5.2D, strengthening recruiting and onboarding. Key achievements include implementing mobile applications, which increased application completion rates by 12%, a redesigned career site and employment application, and improvements to the hiring and onboarding experience. These enhancements streamlined recruiting administrative tasks, improved efficiency, and strengthened the district's ability to attract and retain top talent. From customer service, the well-attended second annual Community Partner Coalition Luncheon took place on July 9th with lots of positive feedback. Everett Housing was our featured partner this year, discussing the benefits they have seen from a strong PUD partnership. It was a day full of networking and collaboration with over 25 local external organizations. Also, our energy services team attended the Clear Result Energy Forum in Portland, where utilities discussed best practices in energy efficiency and demand response programs and aimed at delivering greater value to our customers. Also wanted to mention, Brenda White and I had the opportunity to meet with the new Tulalip Tribe Board Chair, Hazen Shotbell. Great conversation and really looking at exploring some more opportunities for partnerships with the Tulalip Tribes. And lastly, I'll be heading to Washington, D.C. this evening for meetings tomorrow and Thursday to try and help move the agreement in principle for the Columbia River Treaty forward and hopefully to the finish line. Be meeting with Senator Cantwell, the Jill Mail, the Columbia River Treaty Project Manager from the State Department. Also have meetings with the White House CEQ and the White House Energy Dominance Council. So hopefully it is a worthwhile trip to help in moving the PRC. Yeah. Yep. And that's it. Happy to answer any questions.
I just would agree. But, you know, it's wonderful we all spent the whole lot of profit. And I'm thinking about it when there's just this article that Seattle Times are thinking about that Seattle Light changing their program to help their customers, but the percentage of customers that they know are there that are identified is really high.
Yeah.
It really is wonderful to do everything we can to help each other.
Yeah.
Identify us.
It is. And that that partnership with those local agencies that are really in place to serve that same need or the same types of needs has really proved hugely beneficial. John Hoffman, Jeff Feinberg, the whole team really getting out of the park.
Next is item six, public hearing 6A, our Flex Ready for Business pilot program. I'll now give you a public hearing on the Flex Ready for Business pilot program. We have Chris Fetter available to provide the prior presentation if necessary. Are there any comments from the public regarding the proposed program? Please raise your hand. No hands up in the room. Commissioner, do you have any questions?
I have no questions.
I'll call for a motion to continue the public hearing of the program.
I move the public hearing on the proposed Flex Ready to Begin pilot rate program to be continued Tuesday, August 4, 2026 at 9 a.m. at 2320 California Street in Everett, Washington.
Okay, call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Aye. Motion passed unanimously. Next, item seven, public hearing in action. 7B, consideration of a resolution approving a warehouse sublease agreement with 338098HWY2 LLC to sublease the warehouse building located 14130339th Avenue South in Sultan, Washington, and authorize the district manager of real estate services to execute said warehouse sublease agreement. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Now, we need a public hearing. We will answer any questions. Are there any comments from the public regarding this resolution? Please raise your hand. Hands up online or in the room. Commissioner, do you have any questions?
No, I have no questions.
None either. I will close the public hearing and I will call for a vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously. Next, item 8, items for individual consideration. 8A, consideration of a resolution authorizing CO General Manager to execute an interlocal agreement with the City of Montlake Terrace regarding the relocation of undergrounding electrical distribution facilities associated with the construction of the city's Main Street reconstruction project. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Daniel Liu, available to answer any questions regarding the resolution. Do you have any questions, Commissioner?
I have no questions.
I will call for the vote. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say nay.
Aye.
Motion passed unanimously. Next is item 9, commission business. 9A, commission reports. Do you have a report?
I do not.
I just wanted to say I was, you know, I had my meter put in into the Friends and Family program, and vehicles going through my neighborhood looking at meters, and I got to meet Quentin, who put in my neighbor's meter, and just fabulous customer service. And you know, I just reflect on what a great way to do it. And of course, like all the others, he's trying to. You can't find a job. But I just was, it was quick, it was painless, and, you know, we have a very active social media page in our neighborhood, and, you know, if they hadn't gone painless, the course would have been comments. Huge neighborhood and no comments. Anyway, I just was really impressed, but I was impressed with him,
too. That's awesome. It was fun.
So did you get your meter, Dan?
Yeah. I'm
not
sure, but I'm the only one in the neighborhood with one.
Oh.
However, my father was very, very
young. Okay, next is 90, our Commissioner Vince Calendar. On page 190 of our there are changes to the event calendar.
I don't have
any. Else shaking her head. No. Okay. Next is item 10, our governance planning calendar. Are there any changes to governance planning calendar? I think we need to add those dates that John mentioned today. Large load presentation. Are there any other changes?
We have, we'll have to be scheduled the item that was pulled today. Is that on?
Oh, right.
Correct. We don't have a current date it'll return. It's also to be determined. They're going to do some background work.
Oh, more of that. All right.
Okay. Any other changes?
I have none.
Okay. So now it is 10:04 a.m. and the board will recess into executive session to discuss current or potential litigation under the term set forth in the Public Meetings Act. It is anticipated the executive session will last for approximately 45 minutes. We will start with a 10-minute break before we go into executive session. So that will put us, it'll conclude at 10:59. The regular meeting will adjourn upon the conclusion of the executive session.
Yeah, really.
All right, it is now 10:49, and our regular meeting is now adjourned. Thank you.